It's February 24th, 2014. Yes. And you're listening to episode 68 of Nitro Beer Free to Play. This episode is brought to you by Gunnar Computer Advanced. What's it called again? Advanced Computer Eyewear.
Which just means yellow tinted glasses.
Well, Imran thought it was glasses for your computer.
That's what you said. You said glasses for your computer. So right. I assume naturally.
You're right.
That
I did
like,
say
my
glasses
computer
for
has
your computer.
2020 vision.
And then we later then just decided it was truck nuts, but for your computer.
So what does that do that Flux does not already do?
What is Flux?
It's a thing that like removes the blue light from your computer as the day goes on.
Oh right. You told me about that. It like edits the monitor colors or something.
Well, yeah. It doesn't do that. It's not dynamic in any way, shape, or form.
No.
So it's worse and costs more money and makes you look stupid.
It's okay. They also sell these for night vision glasses because tinting
I've seen
things
those.
Yellow kind of evens out the blue high intensity discharge headlights, makes it a little easier to see past them.
So this stems from I saw an ad at the top when I booted up Skype today saying Gunnar Advanced Computer Eyewear. Let's see, by reducing the stress on your eyes and creating an enhanced and more comfortable visual environment, you will be able to sustain focus and alertness during extended computer or gaming sessions.
Okay, so everybody, to get this effect, stop setting your monitors to blue. Just stop it. First of all, it's the default setting on every Apple product, which is insane because everybody talks about Apple products being good for artwork. But the color settings are wrong by default. But it's such an easy fix.
Yeah. All right, never mind. This episode is not brought to you by Gunnar Advanced Computer. This episode is brought to you by Matt Pierce Fix Things.
Well, it's what are these things that always drives me nuts? Because when I was in college, I didn't get a computer until I was in college. And when I got a computer, I was hanging out with people who were into graphic design. And they all insisted on doing these intense calibration tests on their monitors. So, like, even me with my first computer was actually one that the student center threw out because they thought it didn't work anymore. So, like, my computer was literally like this torn apart chassis of a computer, but it perfect color reproduction on the screen because I was hanging out with people who insisted on getting it perfectly right. And it's, yeah.
I don't think I've ever calibrated a monitor.
Oh God.
Or a TV. Do you hate me?
Yes.
I've calibrated my TV. I've never calibrated my monitor. Because it out of the box, it worked fine.
No,
did we ever figure out why there was like we were playing Left 4 Dead and for some reason?
Oh yeah, you have like green. Health
I had like
bars,
a
blue,
like a
blue
different,
health bars.
Yeah.
Yeah,
different colored health bars and HUD stuff. And I think it's maybe was it the colorblind setting? Did we figure that out?
I have no idea.
I turn that shit on because sometimes games do really silly shit like here's red and orange and there's just barely discernible color differentiations.
The only time I've ever had a problem with that was Bioshock Infinite when like the difference between graphics.
The time when Comstock made you do the sliding block puzzle with red and light red.
That asshole. But, like there's a difference between like grabbing something and stealing something and it's like slightly more red when you steal it.
Yeah.
And that's, like I never was awesome. Able to tell the difference. Yeah. Well, I mean stealing anything doesn't if you're on a genocide run in that game anyway, then it doesn't really matter.
Genocide run.
I mean, who in what was it, Colombia does not deserve to die?
Well, I just have to ask this about Colombia.
Clown.
Is there anybody who you don't kill along the way?
You can not like if you go through like a bar and you don't steal things and everyone isn't going to immediately turn their guns on you. And by the way, everyone has guns.
Yeah,
America.
Because America, because the right to bear arms. I am Brian Belita, and I am joined by Imran Khan.
Hi, I have guns.
And
it's America.
And Matt Pierce.
Hi, I have a PlayStation again. Yay!
Do you know?
Yes.
Did you buy a new one or fix the old one?
No, I replaced the hard drive.
Ah.
So I lost all my save files, but I have a working PS3 with a 500 gig drive in it.
Right.
Well, lucky for you, you got back just in time for Gran Turismo 5 to go down forever.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Wait, what?
Grace. They're pulling all the Gran Turismo 5 stuff from the store in preparation to shut down the servers.
So what does that prevent you from doing?
Downloading any of the DLC.
Hmm. I mean, you can still play the fucking game, right?
You can't play online.
Okay. Yeah, I can still download the DLC through what's called a family pack because I had purchased all of it.
Huh.
So I can still download it. It's just I can't purchase it.
Right.
It's kind of a weird thing.
But you've already purchased it, so.
Yeah.
I know it won't work with Gran Turismo because of all the licenses involved, but I'd like it if, like, publishers, when they do that, they just made it all free for the last day. Like, you can't do it more than once because then everyone's going to just expect it.
Yeah.
But, like, why not? Why not just give it... You're not going to make any more money off of it.
Yeah, but they think they are, so...
Yeah, well...
They won't.
There's... Yeah, you did point out there's a very specific reason they can't do it for Gran Turismo.
Licenses, yeah.
There's a lot of licensing concerns.
I never got the B license. I don't know. I was making a license joke.
So I lost my Gran Turismo 6 save file, which doesn't really hurt me that much because I was only a month into it.
Did you have PSN Plus?
I did not. I was about to purchase it, and then I looked at the... Because I was about to get it because I was interested in the Instant Game Collection.
Yeah.
And I looked at the games that are downloadable this month, and I have a lot of them. And I just said, I can hold off until next month.
That's my problem.
I couldn't hold off until next month.
That's my problem with PS Plus is that if you have a decent PC, 99% of the time, the games they give away for free are things that they'd be like, well, I already own that from the last Steam sale, or I'd rather play that on PC because then it would look like I would totally play Outlast, but my TV is like 20. It's a good 5 or 6 feet in front of me, while a horror movie or a horror game on my PC might be a bit better. I mean, I have the choice of where to play that, and at the end of the day, I think resolution matters more.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. I usually get things on PS3 because of the no muss, no fuss sort of attitude of console gaming.
It also feels somewhat more you know how when you, like, back in the day when everyone downloaded ROMs, like, if you didn't actually physically own the game, it felt like you had less investment in it, and so you'd throw things away quicker?
Yeah.
That's how PS Plus feels a lot for me. Like, I downloaded Uncharted Golden Abyss, which is the Vita game.
Oh, and that, like, name.
For like, I played it for, like, 5 minutes. I was like, fuck this, and then stopped playing it.
Yeah, I have a few games on PlayStation 3 that I got from when they had that network outage, and they gave everybody like free games out of a selection of 10.
Yeah,
and I got Little Big Planet and Wipeout, and I played Wipeout like 3 times, and I don't think I played Little Big Planet even once on my actual PlayStation. I think I played it once in a store.
So Matt, I know you enjoy obviously the kind of the racing sims like Gran Turismo and Forza, if that is, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if I called it a racing sim or not. But I mean, do you have any affinity, or I mean, are there any like futuristic or kind of crazy racers that you also enjoy?
I have.
I mean, like Wipeout. I mean, did you enjoy Wipeout?
I loved Wipeout in the 90s, but I loved Wipeout up until Wipeout 3, and then Wipeout Fusion on the PlayStation 2 was not fun. And the new one on the PS3 was not all that great.
What?
I didn't like it.
I could never connect to Wipeout for some reason. Like, I don't know, it just felt like track design was a little too simple or boring, I guess. Like, keep in mind, I only ever played like the beginning stuff because it never hooked me. So if it gets better past that, then probably it does, but yeah.
I really love the games. But yeah, I mean, I played like the first one, maybe the second one, and then I think there was a long gap.
The second one was the best one.
Yeah, then there was a long gap, and then did you play any of the PSP ones?
No, I didn't have
PSP. Okay, that's right. Those were good. It's pretty solid for a portable game. And then when Wipeout HD hit, and God, that game is just really, really gorgeous.
Is that the one on the PS3?
Yeah. Wipeout HD, like, and then Wipeout Fury it became, or something like that.
Yeah, that tells you how much I played this thing. Like, I got it for free and then played it twice and don't remember the name of the game at all. Wipeout something or other.
Well, I mean, Wipeout is really all you need. I mean, yeah, it started off as HD, and then I think Fury was like DLC for it.
But it was like a sizable chunk. It was a really, really big chunk. So I was just curious. I mean,
I think when they did the make good reparations thing, it was a package of Wipeout HD and Wipeout Fury.
Right.
Like, so I think I have both of them technically. I just have to decide whether or not I want to re-download them.
Right.
And I guess I also have Castlevania from when we did Alliterates Book Club. Cadet Symphony of the Night.
Oh, right.
Ages ago.
I was like, did we do Lord of Shadows recently?
No.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. I
started of the Night a very long time ago.
Yeah.
That was the first one, I think, yeah.
Yeah. So I love that, like, we mentioned IBC and someone on Twitter said we should do Symphony of the Night. And it's like, come on.
Did they really? I missed that. Yeah.
At some point, we should actually, like, make a list of things we've done.
Yeah, I'll make a page.
Because I just know there's going to be a situation where we name something and no one realizes it until we start playing it.
Right, yeah. I'll make a page with the new
kind of... There's, like, an infinity of games out there. I mean, we're not doing, like, one a week or anything. It's not like we're going through 50 games a year.
No. We're just double time Alliterates Book Club. It's just, all right, 2 games, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
4 games in 2 weeks. Do it. Just 15 minutes a game. That's all you need.
We'll talk about them for like 5 seconds each on the podcast.
Oh, so you mean how I regularly play games?
that's kind of how I've been playing games lately.
This was fun. Eject.
Yeah.
I mean, I bought EDF and I played that for like 2 days. I was like, I really enjoyed it. I'm going to go back to it. But then I bought Donkey Kong and played that for the last day or two.
Oh, cool. I'm just sad that I can't be playing Titanfall right now.
Yeah. The beta ended.
My main thing.
When did you play? Tuesday, right?
No, I thought it was like, maybe it was. I don't remember. But
19th.
It ended because I started playing it, I think, on Saturday. Yeah, because when we recorded, you had played it some, and I hadn't yet. But then I did, and I'm, oh, man.
Right after the podcast, I remember sending you a link that was like, hey, Titanfall for $12 off. And you're like, all right, let's go for it.
I'll do it. Yeah, because I played it, I think, just that night, and that was enough for me to know that it was going to be a good investment for me.
Yeah.
I'm really excited for that game to drop, because I had a lot of fun with that.
How much did you end up playing?
A lot. I mean, I don't know. I probably played like 5 or 6 hours total.
Yeah. Did you do anything besides attrition, or did you just mostly stick to that?
No. I did attrition and I did hardpoint, which is the control point, which I enjoy a little more. I mean, attrition was fine if you're just looking for a quick fray or something, obviously. But I enjoyed hardpoint a lot more, just because there's a bit more strategery. Kind of with Counter-Strike, the bomb or hostages versus the demolition mode, which we've played sometimes.
Yeah.
Which is fun, which is just for a fray, but sometimes that just devolves into, just shooty, shoot, shoot. And then, hard point, obviously, with the control points is something a little more tactical, which I like. You can put a little more strategery into things.
Right.
Yeah. God, yeah. So I'm that, what, March 11th, right?
Yes.
So
very soon.
Yeah, soon but far.
I mean, that's like 2 weeks.
Yeah. I guess I can wait. I'll have to. But yeah, no, that's... God, so if... all right. It's good. It's really good. It's just funny seeing, like, everyone playing the game, and... I don't know. There are a lot of people who are, like, bitching about it.
I don't know what it was they expected.
Yeah.
Like, it is... People get really pissed off about the positive reinforcement of modern shooters like Call of Duty.
Right.
And I think it's fine. Like, nothing you gain from further levels is actually, like, way more powerful.
Right.
Because I stuck to basically the starting equipment for the first 10 levels until I felt like trying something else out.
Once I unlocked the shotgun, I started using that, because that was really good, because most of the battles I got into ended up being close range, at least with the two maps that came with the beta.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it's, I think the main point that we've talked about before when with something like this, with unlocks, is that, people complain, oh, I've paid for the game, why don't I have access to everything immediately? And it's just,
It's to make sure that you're not that one guy who just uses the sniper rifle and nothing else forever.
I mean, once you unlock it, you can be that guy.
Yeah, but I mean, they want you to try out other things first.
Yeah, yeah, true. So it's good. I mean, yeah, it's positive reinforcement. You know, it unlocks some things as you go, so you can kind of experiment with it all. But I mean, you know, with like Counter-Strike, you know, there's positive reinforcement that you might get an item, you know, and that's just like an aesthetic skin at the end of the game when you play that. So, I mean, it's good. The positive reinforcement is good.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoy, like, I don't think every game should be like that, but there's some that do it very artfully, and Titanfall is one of those games. And then it does everything possible to make sure that you're always having a good time.
Yeah.
Why even when I lose like 15 matches in a row, I'm like, yeah, awesome. Let's go to the next one.
Yeah. Well, because when you do kind of succeed at what you're doing, it feels really good. And the level design is so good. It's so intricate and tight, but I don't know, it kind of works out. I can't.
Like, even if you lose, it's maybe you'll make it onto the ship and still, like, up until the very last second of every round, you're always doing something that might be moving to a better goal.
Yeah. Well, and with like the jump jet and everything, obviously just the kind of the freedom of movement is just really enjoyable to do. And the cloaking, is just, you know, it's just, you just boom, T, you're cloaked for a little bit. And that comes in really useful. So I'd spam that. Like, if, you know, if I'll be kind of in a spot hanging out. And then if I was like, all right, I see somebody over there, got to jump across some rooftops, just toss on the cloak and run around.
Right.
So you feel like a superhero.
One of my favorite things was like one time I was right near the evacuation point, and I was waiting because enemies, well, they'll come there to just clear out everybody who, you know, starts coming there too. But since I got there so early, I just cloaked behind a billboard and just sat there shooting off everyone who came one at a time.
Nice. Yeah, I gave the little, I forget what the pistol's called, but the little auto aim thing.
Yeah.
And it's, I guess it's neat, but
I think it's clearly there for people who are using controllers.
Yeah, which is good, which is fine. And I think if you, you know, if you're, especially if you're using cloak or kind of playing the slow sneaky game, it'll be really useful because, you know, just 1, 2, 3, and then you get it. But it just did not work out for me. And maybe that's because I'm used to just other shooty shoot stuff.
It's a good solution instead of like segregating.
Yeah, it is. I mean, there's a lot of just small little things that are just really nice touches. It just kind of makes you go, oh, why hasn't anyone else done this? Like the escape at the end. Like if your team loses, the escaping to the dropship or to the escape ship. It's just a little thing, but it really makes the game. And that pistol too. I mean, it's just a little thing that will make it that much more accessible for somebody who's maybe a little hesitant about it.
Sorry, yeah. I got distracted by a Steam listing that I just saw.
Was it for Titanfall?
Drunken Robot Pornography.
Oh yeah, that's by Dejavan Games. They're the dudes that made For the Awesome or A Reckless Disregard for Gravity.
I can't tell if this is good or just weird.
It's always guaranteed to be weird since it's Dejavan. I forget what this one is because they did that, then they did 1, 2, 3, Kick That Beat Like an Ugly Baby, or Drop That Beat Like an Ugly Baby. And that one wasn't so much like base jumping or skydiving. It was kind of infinite falling, and I don't remember. They do some really weird shit, but it's cool. It's a nice little market. So I don't know. I'm probably going to check it out because it's called Drunken Robot Pornography.
I don't know. Some of the reviews are kind of middling.
Stop reading reviews.
This one says not recommended because it says not actually porn.
Oh, well. All right. Well, I mean, if that's what you're looking for.
I mean, it made certain promises that it is clearly not delivering on.
Oh, man. So, Ken Levine.
Yeah. So, Irrational got shut down, essentially.
Yeah.
Which... at first, it looks like I think Take-Two wanted to make it seem like this is Ken Levine being Ken Levine because he has the reputation to get away with this.
Right.
But so what happened is basically Irrational has like 500 people and they've pared it down to just 15 people plus Ken Levine to work on smaller interactive story experiences, which I assume means stuff like Gone Home. And he'll be doing that under Take-Two's umbrella. So that means like 485 people got to find other jobs. And what it seems like since then that Take-Two has shut down BioShock despite selling about 4 to 5 million copies, or Shutdown Irrational, because Bioshock sold 4 to 5 million copies, because that wasn't enough.
Apparently, yeah, that's not enough. Yeah. Which I mean, well, they, I mean, obviously a lot of money went into it.
Yeah. Like a lot of money and a lot of time. Like even if you kept Irrational around, they need to be making one game every 2 years as opposed to, you know, one game every 5 years, because opportunity cost alone means you'd be getting a lot more out of your financial statements.
Yeah. Well, I think this message and this news in particular is sparked, but I've seen a lot of people on Twitter, game devs and, you know, games journalists, all kind of saying that, you know, this model is just not sustainable, that the future is kind of in, you know, small teams. And
I mean, even among AAA games, Bioshock Infinite was kind of an outlier.
Yeah, that's true.
Like that thing, they gave Ken Levine such a long rope on that one.
That's true. That's true. I mean, I was listening to Idle Thumbs talk about this, I think this in the most recent episode, and they kind of hit it all the nails on the head. I mean, the message is, yeah, it's definitely kind of deflecting. Like, it's like, hey guys, Ken Levine's starting something new. But then of course there's the 400 and some layoffs.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it's as sad as it is that whenever that happens, which, you know, it's happened a lot over the last couple of years. It's really, really impressive to see the outpouring that comes from people helping those people to find jobs, you know, other game studios saying, hey, we're hiring. And, you know, people compiling lists of places that are hiring and various different jobs. So,
I mean, the big problem is, like, I don't think the game industry can take all 485 people. Like, no, where are you going to put them?
Probably not.
And they probably aren't all going to find jobs, but there's a pool of talent that made a very good game very recently that's up for grabs.
I mean, they survived a very turbulent game development, so they shipped something that everyone in the industry knows had a hard time being shipped.
Yeah.
So that should help. It just, well, I mean, if nothing else, Boston game development's probably pretty much done. And that's a fairly large, you know, quarter of the country up there that is no longer probably going to support that many game developers.
Yeah, I do find it frustrating that the games industry is this multi-billion dollar worldwide industry, but can only be supported in the cheapest of areas.
Vancouver, California, and
Texas has a community, but it's Texas.
Do they?
Yeah. It's Austin, I think, has a community that kind of sprouted up around, I think, id Software, and one of the other 90s publishers was in Austin.
Like, and Bethesda's one of the only exceptions on the East Coast.
Yeah, that's one of the things that always frustrated me growing up, is I always wanted to get into games, but it meant moving to California. Because there was literally nothing in the New York metro area. Because they can't afford to pay people enough to live in the metro New York area and then still ship a game.
And also, you're not getting tax breaks like I'm sure, you know, studios in Canada and probably Seattle do.
Yeah.
Like, Seattle and Oregon have, like, pretty good indie development scenes now, too.
So can we talk about how fucking bullshit this sentence is in the letter from Ken Levine after What's Next? In time, we will announce a new endeavor with a new goal: to make narrative-driven games for the core gamer that are highly replayable.
Okay.
I think that's basically honestly, I think that's kind of passive-aggressive. I think he's going, like, this is what you were complaining about with Bioshock. Let's see if you put your money where your mouth is.
You think?
Like, that's what people are complaining. Like, they're saying all this gameplay is sort of getting in the way because it's not very good. Like, and you play this game once and that's it.
But it does kind of sound like he turned around and said, well, they don't want a shooter because the shooting isn't very good. And Take-Two said, then you're an indie studio and you're going to make budget games. Like, it seems like those are the only two extremes they're capable of. Either you're making a AAA game with 500 employees, or you're making a tiny indie game with 15.
Core gamer.
I think that's part of the problem, is that there's no AA development anymore.
Yeah, there's absolutely nothing in between.
There's like high-end AAA and low-end AAA.
Well, what's weird is that this next thing that Ken Levine is doing is still at 2K. It's still, which is, so, I don't know.
Well, I think even 2K even if they're having a huge creative disagreement with Ken Levine, is smart enough not to lose Ken Levine.
Right. That's true. Yeah.
And also, this is just a guess, but I'm guessing that the screenwriting thing didn't work out well for him. Because he was off doing Logan's Run, and then you didn't hear about it again, and now he's back in game development.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Not going to get... I don't think anybody's really going to get all hot and bothered for a Logan's Run remake. I mean, first of all, Logan's Run is a great fucking movie.
It is.
Even if it's old and stupid and cheesy now, it's still a great movie. You know, there's no reason to remake that movie.
But don't you want Logan's Run written by Ken Levine?
Not really, no.
It seems like such a weird mismatch of talent. Like, why would you need Ken Levine for Logan's Run? Let him make an original script if he wants to make anything.
Yeah.
Like, but no one's going to pay for that either, so.
I also love the line that, when I talked to Take-Two about the idea, they convinced me that there was no better place to pursue this new chapter than within their walls.
Yeah, so it sounds like he probably wanted to go out and become an independent developer, and they offered him, how about we let you have an indie studio instead.
And a couple extra $100,000 or whatever.
It's kind of hilarious that Take-Two is basically like bending over backwards to keep Ken Levine, but...
God, this letter is so weird. It's so weird. It's just...
My parents' point is that Ushikoshi from Chunsoft can't bankroll a sequel to Virtue's Last Reward. Because the publisher, if it doesn't sell in Japan, they're not interested.
Yeah.
And I think that's a much better story than anything Ken Levine has written.
Well, so, it's a better story, maybe. It ain't a better game. There's got to be somewhere in the middle.
I would say 999 is a better experience than BioShock Infinite.
Really? Because I literally fell asleep playing it.
I mean,
several times.
Opinions are going to vary, but I would say yes, it's a better experience overall.
Capable of playing that game.
I would pay $60 for 999 over BioShock Infinite.
That's strong. I don't think.
And Mark's not here to disagree.
Oh man, I'm kind of interested to see what comes out of what Ken Levine is doing next. I just hate that this meant, you know, 485 people need to be laid off.
I hope he takes inspiration from Gone Home. Like, I think more people should. I think they should strive to make experiences like that.
But can you make a highly replayable Gone Home for the core gamer?
I don't know what the fuck he's thinking with that. Like, I desperately want to see what he means, because I'm betting that's something that makes sense in his head but doesn't actually work on.
Oh, you know what? I know what it's going to be. He's making Spelunky Shock.
The daily challenge of Splunky. Finding out all these information.
Right, yeah, Spelunky Shock. Daily Comstock challenge, I know.
Yeah.
It seems like there's a lot of room between what he's been doing and the things that he's trying to point to as inspiration now. And it's just, I kind of wish that somebody would step into that middle ground.
I don't know. Next, he's going to team up with Randy Pritchard.
Honestly, the middle ground, like the double A efforts, I think that's one of the reasons that the Wii U has no third-party support, is because AAA costs too much to take the risk on that install base, and AA doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
So that just leaves Nintendo and indies.
Give me an example of AA in the past.
Darksiders.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is a game that did not break the bank, but it sold pretty well, and, you know, it was carried more on its mechanics than its presentation.
Yeah, it wasn't the best-looking game, but it wasn't, you know, a bargain bin budget title.
I think Infamous 1 probably, it's probably pretty close to AAA on the AA scale, but it's not, you know, it's not a huge budgeted affair.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like any of the fighting games like Soul Calibur 5 or Dead or Alive 5, those are sort of like AA games because they don't spend a fortune doing these humongous scripted things.
Isn't there a new Soul Calibur coming out?
There was a free-to-play game that's on PS3.
I saw some, I think it was a Japanese trailer for something regarding Soul Calibur.
No, the only thing I think of is a PS3 free-to-play game.
Okay, maybe that's it.
But there were a lot of things on the Wii that were kind of like AA games that worked out, like all the Sonic games.
I mean, AA was his bread and butter. That was like Red Steel 2 and Boom Blocks.
No More
Heroes. Yeah. Games that would not make sense with a huge budget, but now everything has to have a huge budget or it's not going to sell.
But I don't believe that, though. I don't believe that it has to have a massive budget in order to sell.
But publishers do believe that's the problem.
And that's, they're the ones who make the decisions. Oh, the stupidest thing I ever saw, by the way, non sequitur. Earlier this week, I saw some like worse NeoGAF post where someone's like, don't get mad at publishers for not putting women in games because they're just going to make the games they want to make.
Oh, yeah.
No, they're not just going to make the games they feel like making.
That's not going to make the games that sell.
Yeah. There's also the, this is the NeoGAF Wars Post Twitter account.
NeoGAF shitpost, I think.
Shitpost, okay. There was also the one about, in regards to Titanfall, that women wouldn't be fighting mechs.
Which is funny because Titanfall has female pilots.
Right, it does. So I don't get it. Yeah.
I was thinking today that we're probably not going to see Mirror's Edge 2 for a long time.
I don't think we're going to see it at all. I think that's been quietly canceled.
I think its best chance of existing existed or happened before Battlefield 4 fell apart. And now it's, in this weird limbo because they're still fixing Battlefield 4 and they've got to eventually start working on Battlefield 5.
Yeah. And this is the exact post. Women aren't being portrayed in video games because they just don't kill, shoot, or act in a violent, aggressive manner needed to sell core gamers. Like in Titanfall, it wouldn't be realistic to see a woman fighting against mechs. And to that I say to you, fuck you, sir. Oh, he's banned, actually.
I mean, that's the problem. Like, why would people... They don't care that it's already happening, so they're just choosing to, like, plug their ears and ignore it.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that's for the best. Maybe, like, eventually change will come with all the Neanderthals eventually just like, huh, what happened?
I don't know. Because, as much as, like, in Twitter and whatever sites and blogs I read or whatever, the people I surround with myself there. And then, and then I play, like, Counter-Strike. I play almost every night. And I'm still kind of baffled when there's, like, the person on the server who's going... he's just saying like, oh, come on, fucking guys, get your act together, you fucking pussies. And
I mean, I showed you that picture before of like the people I had to mute in Titanfall. That was the only time it happened, but still.
I had to do that too. There were guys like that in Titanfall too.
There's a bunch of people just screaming penis. I was like, really, guys?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
There's a fine line between, having fun. Like, there's some guys I play with who are like, come on, guys, let's have a picnic. And end up with like the whole server Counter-Strike people with their knives out just hanging out. Just the entire, and then someone attacked and it all from there. But, that's not spamming voice shit and just being a gigantic douchebag. And it still boggles me when
I think that's going to be something we're going to deal with for like,
ever. Oh no, it's going to be around for a long time, if not forever.
So this relates to two things I saw at the movie theater last night. One, there's this kid, teenager, maybe 13 years old, rocking a trench coat, blue hair, and giant Buddy Holly glasses, and some retro Converse All-Stars. He looked like a mess. But I'm sitting there looking at him, it's like, this kid knows exactly what he thinks cool is.
If that's what he legitimately thinks his style is, then good for him.
Yeah, he is going full force into what he thinks being a cool person is. And that's the problem with all these online games. Like, those people who are yelling penis think that they're provocateurs.
Right. It's like, they think that they're being funny. They're the funny guy.
Yeah, and they're hopefully too young to have grown out of that yet.
Yeah.
But this also relates to like... okay, so Arnold Schwarzenegger is finally going to be in movies again.
Really?
Right. Yeah. He's in like 8 right now, or production or something like that.
So like they had the big standee for his first one coming out since the governorship, and it's kind of like The Expendables except without an all-star cast.
Wasn't he in The Expendables though?
Yeah, sort of. He made a cameo in Expendables too.
Okay.
But there's this ensemble cast that you've never heard of, but at any rate. It's got two women on the team and like a couple of different racial groups that I couldn't really put my finger on, but there is a lot of diversity in there. Okay. And it's like the same Neanderthals who would yell racist things online are going to go watch this stupid action movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger in it. And it's just one of those things where it's like, if you just force diversity on them, they probably don't care.
Yeah. You know what? I find it interesting that nobody's like, there was a Black Widow movie announced and nobody's really raised up in arms about it.
Right.
Yeah. Which, you know, they would totally be like the second Wonder Woman movie's announced.
Well,
yeah,
they might be, but at this point, I think you'd get just as many people angry because DC is killing its franchises in the movies.
Oh, God, yeah, they are.
Look, the only thing I've got to say about a Wonder Woman movie is I would have been all for that before New 52. But the current version of DC cannot be trusted to do anything with Wonder Woman.
Did you guys watch the Galaxy or Guardians of the Galaxy trailer?
Yes.
It looks really good.
It does. But what I love about this movie is that it feels like Marvel just going, do you see this, DC? We can make a movie about anything.
Right, right.
Okay. Like, next is Great Lakes Avengers. We'll have a guy who just can't die. That'll be our movie.
Great Lakes Avengers would have to have Squirrel Girl in it.
I know, that would be amazing.
How awesome would that be?
And it would be a success and probably do better than any DC movie they're making.
DC is just, Wonder Woman is just, it's just too complex. We can't, it's just, no. Marvel's like, have a fucking raccoon.
Yeah, we got that guy from Parks and Rec. And he's a star.
John C. Reilly is playing a retired Kree warrior. Yeah. I mean, like,
that's going to be rad.
But I mean, they're bringing in, okay, so in Avengers, they already brought in all of the Thor and Loki stuff and Asgard and Midgard. So that's confusing as hell already. Yeah. With the Fantastic Four movies, they brought in Galactus and the Silver Surfer. With the X-Men movies, they're doing Days of Future Past, which is confusing as fuck. They're bringing in Thanos for the next Avengers movie. They're bringing out the Winter Soldier story, which is confusing as fuck. Yeah. They're bringing out all this stuff with basically what you'd consider the Marvel Extended Universe. You know, all the stuff out there that they just pull in for random crazy stories. They're gonna have the Kree, which means they're going to have the Skrulls at some point. Like, they are pulling so much crazy things out that you turn around to the DC stuff and you're like, you're still doing Batman's fucking origin story? Like, you
like
couldn't...
Even DC, like, I look at Amazing Spider-Man 2 and I'm like, what the hell is going on? Like, why is there Green Goblin in this movie now?
Just that, well, okay, at least they're basing the Amazing Spider-Man movies on the Ultimates universe.
But there's so many fucking villains.
Yeah.
And you know exactly why there's so many villains is because they can make so many villain toys.
Well, you could still make a Thanos toy. You can make any sort of toys from any of the villains you introduce, but at least Marvel Studios is going to the back wall and bringing out all those ones that people don't know before they go into the theater.
Yeah.
Like, the stuff that people have been reading Marvel for years, they all know about it already, but like the mainstream audience that goes to see the movies who don't know a lot about the comics, they're going to be completely confused by Thanos.
And it's a smart play because it gets all those people who do know excited about it and they tell their friends. Because I saw like a thing on, where was it? Like an imager. There was one of the most popular galleries with just a guy explaining who all the characters in Guardians of the Galaxy was.
Oh my God,
right.
Yes.
Like the collector guy or whatever.
I
haven't seen the second Thor movie, but I guess he shows up like in the after scenes credit in that, apparently.
Yeah. That's smart too, because it gets people to go back and watch those movies.
Yeah,
I love it's
smart
Avengers.
Because, I mean, a movie is such an easier gateway than saying, hey, here, read your first Guardians of the Galaxy comic.
I love that at the end of the Avengers, they had the stinger at and they showed Thanos, and Loki's telling him to fight them is to court death, and he's like, that's perfect. And, like, the only way you'd get that is if you knew that the Infinity Wars were about him literally courting the goddess of death. Like, that was the whole point of that story, was that he was trying to get her to love him, so he was killing people on her behalf.
Hey, baby.
Yeah. It was nuts. That is some comic book high as balls bullshit. Like, the people who wrote it were so high that you could not calculate it by any scale, but they're still going to make a movie out of it.
and they've, I think they've greenlighted or they're talking about Doctor Strange now, which is, I think, how they like, they backdoor all the mysticism stuff into the Marvel Universe.
How are they going to do that? Are they going to like put up subtitles for all the spells he casts like they do in the comics?
I don't know, but if it's not Liam Neeson, I'm going to be pissed.
Oh, Liam Neeson's...
As Doctor Strange would be the weirdest fucking thing.
I know, but it seems so appropriate.
No, he's not creepy enough. It would have to be like a Benedict Cumberbatch or somebody who's strange. Liam Neeson is too real, like a too much of a normal guy.
Yeah.
I will say this, speaking of casting, that like with all the problems this Batman Superman movie is having, the biggest mistake I think is that they didn't just get Bale as Batman again. Like, not that he's a great Batman or the best Batman, but you need that connective tissue to get audience interested in this.
Apparently they didn't like working with him.
I can see that. Like, people. He's probably a crazy person.
But apparently he also didn't want to work with anyone but Nolan.
Yeah, I can see that too. And they threw Nolan's name on Superman, even though it didn't really, like, it was like Kojima with Lords of Shadows. Like, yeah, he was there. I guess he was drinking some coffee at some point.
he came by the office once, just put his name on it.
He said, "Do you have directions to the loo?" And then went the other way.
What's that? What's that? You put my name on this game? All right. Let's take a break.
Yeah, break.
We're back.
I have to keep remembering every time you do that to not say a dinosaur story because we already used that joke.
I don't.
Ear shield.
Oh right, a dinosaur story? I must have missed this.
You were there. We were talking like it's a cartoon about dinosaurs that came back. Because it's called We're Back, a Dinosaur. We've done this before.
Yes.
No, I know. I'm sure we have.
That's always my first reaction.
Probably didn't understand it then, but now I guess I'm looking at a poster for a Steven Spielberg presents an adventure for the whole family.
Steven Spielberg.
Shit.
About that level. It's kind of like that Kojima thing.
God, Steven Spielberg. What am I? Oh God.
This was back when like they put his name on all the Tiny Toon stuff and anything that Warner Brothers Animation was doing.
Was Spielberg the most recent, the Tintin movie?
I don't know.
I want to say he was involved.
Was that Spielberg? Tintin movie? Because I watched that the other day.
The problem with Steven Spielberg is that he executive produces a bunch of stuff, which basically means he funds it.
Oh, well, he's listed as director. Which I believe. It was really good. If you get the chance, it's on Netflix. You should watch The Adventures of Tintin.
Did he also direct Crystal Skull? Because that movie was god awful.
Well, Tintin makes up for Crystal Skull. Okay. All right. No, it
I don't know that. That's
really no. You're right.
Not watching the Crystal Skull makes up for Crystal Skull.
I remember I was sick and I was sitting in England. I was like, I'm gonna watch Crystal Skull, and I watched it and I got really angry.
Yeah.
Like to the point where I went downstairs to the dorm's common room and I was talking to people. I was like, did you guys see this movie? Because it's awful.
Yeah. Just go downstairs and light an American flag on fire.
I renounce my citizenship because of Crystal Skull.
But it was really neat seeing what Steven Spielberg would do just with like complete freedom of camera. So he did some neat stuff. I recommend
a lot of close ups of people staring off camera.
I can't remember. Maybe he did. But you know, he did the transition thing. Like it's two people shaking hands. No, wait, it's dunes. It's sand. Anyways. All right, so you should watch that movie by Steven Spielberg. I want a Steven Spielberg game.
You know what movie you have to watch, both of you, if you haven't seen it yet?
I'm all yours.
The Lego movie.
Oh, man, I've been hearing good things about that. I do need
to watch it. I'm going to see it next month with a friend.
Nice.
No spoilers. Do not.
Okay. I hear it's weirdly, what's the word, like introspective?
It is.
Like, are we made of blocks like that?
No,
or?
Not like that. It's... Okay, I mean, so not spoiling much. The two sides at war are the master builders who can build anything freeform, and Lord Business, who insists on doing everything by the instructions.
Holy shit. Lord Business?
Yes, who is in disguise as President Business.
President Lord Business.
Yes, who is played by Will Ferrell.
All right, I'm gonna need to see that.
Okay, so you will catch on pretty quickly that the idea is that this is kind of the story you would get from a kid playing with Legos. Like, it's that weird and full of really stupid names and bad jokes.
Man.
But, yeah, it's...
I remember when I did my, like, own series of trading cards when I was a kid. Like, my dad was always drawing stuff, and so I wanted to be a cartoonist when I was a kid. And so, like, I drew, like, a centaur, and his name was, like Senti. So stuff like that.
Yeah, that's stuff like that in general. Like, the 80s... in the 80s, there was a space line of Legos where they had spaceships and little spacemen. Yeah. So, like, the guy, when you see that Lego character walking around, he's called 80s Spaceman.
80s Spaceman.
And they have Batman and Wonder Woman and Superman and Green Lantern, and they all just play themselves.
That's crazy. Like,
but they also, there's this point where they talk about using Batman to sneak in as Bruce Wayne. And Batman's, who's this Bruce Wayne guy? He sounds awesome. And everybody's looking at him like he's an idiot.
Come on, man. We know. That's pretty good.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff like that where, like, the master builders all come from different play sets. So they all build in different styles, but they have a hard time working together, and they just sound like bickering kids.
So the master builders are the good guys.
Yes, but it ends up being more introspective than that.
Cool.
Because it's about the idea of pursuing perfection versus having fun. Like, are you building the perfect world out of Legos, or are you building whatever you think is fun right now?
Yeah.
So have you guys seen the Lego Movie game? Because I feel like we've hit the zenith of what a Lego game can look like.
At this point, we're just
throwing effects on it.
Getmesomegrapesoda.com.
Yes. I did not have time to re-upload that picture.
No, that's fine. Yeah, no, it's cool.
Yeah, so this pretty much looks...
Yeah, it looks like real Legos with shaders.
Yeah.
But not, I mean, like Legos are polished plastic. That's exactly the thing that can
do well. I think it looks amazing. I'm just saying, like, I don't think we can get to a better-looking Lego game at some point.
Yeah, we totally can. Like, when you see this pushed up against screenshots from the movie... There's a long way to go.
The movie looks really, really good.
Like, one of the things they employ heavily in the movie is this technique called subsurface scattering that simulates thin materials that transmit light without being transparent.
Oh, here Matt goes again. No, go on.
But it's one of those things where, like, when there's a light behind a Lego character, you can see some of that filtering through the plastic because it's supposed to be, like, really small. Yeah.
I was under the impression it was all stop motion.
It's not. There's an all stop motion outro at the end.
Oh,
like,
cool.
the credit sequence is all stop motion. But it's all rendered.
Huh. But people had told me that it was like 100% actual real Legos.
That good.
It's very well rendered. They look very realistic. And they do a lot of things like when in the intro when Lord Business kicks down the door, there's a plume of smoke, but the smoke is all made of solid Legos.
Oh, right.
Kind of stop motion animate. It's all rendered.
So Lord Business is actually a really good segue into what I've been playing. I've been playing Calculords by Sean Baby.
Okay.
I mentioned this a while ago on the cast, and anyway, so it just kind of suddenly and surprisingly dropped. I mean, I hadn't been checking it for dates or anything, but it's out now, and it's a really good iOS game. It's really good. It's like a single player collectible card game. As far as I know, there isn't any multiplayer, but obviously by the name Calculords, there is math involved in this video game. And I wish Mark were here, because then... Well, no, wait, Matt, you played Magic, right?
Yeah.
So it's sort of like Magic, except instead of, like, land and mana, you just have to do math instead.
Okay. So does so that, you just win if you're good at math?
To some extent. So like you're given a hand of cards, like four, usually I think six at most. As you progress and kind of level up through the game, you unlock having more cards in your hand, and you're given a set it's like 6 to 9 numbers that you can do math between. You can add, you can subtract, and you can multiply. You can't divide because that would get into funky, like, you know, indivisible numbers territory and stuff like that. But anyway, so each of your cards, which, you know, they're like collectible cards, are each a different character. You know, some are rarer than others. Some have special abilities. There are three different type of cards. There's like a regular, troop unit. There's a push unit, and then they're kind of action cards. And the whole game is played out on a grid with like three lanes. And you're basically your characters go head to head with the other enemies, and you can push them back, and they fight. They have certain HP and attack power as well. But anyway, so each card has a number assigned to it, and you have to use the 1 to 9 numbers that you're given in order to get that number, in order to, you know, to put it on the playing field. And then like you get a bonus for using all the numbers you have, and then that gives you basically a second set of numbers to cast more of your cards down. So it's got like math puzzle, I guess, and then, you know, kind of collectible card, kind of board game stuff going on it. And it's really good. I recommend it. It's free to play right now. There's like a $3 in-app purchase to remove ads, and it also lets you get like one extra card per win. But the rest of the purchases, like there's no timers, there's no in-game currency. The rest of the purchases, at least that are seen in the store right now, are like decks that you can earn just from playing the game.
So have you played Threes, by the way?
Oh man, yeah, I've played Threes.
Because what you're describing Threes sounds similar to that.
No, it's
okay. I heard math, and then I heard math, iOS, well, gotta be the same thing.
I mean, Threes could ostensibly be, I mean, those could just be any things. They could be like, you know, all right, if you get two squares, you gotta merge the squares, and whatever they become, you gotta merge those two. So it's just that it happens to be represented by numbers.
Is Threes worth playing?
Yes, Threes is worth playing. Okay. It's another really good puzzle game. Like, this has been a really good week for kind of mobile games. Between Threes and then Calculords, I think there was one other, I can't remember what. Really good games. So you should definitely check out Calculords if you have an iOS device. I saw somebody, I don't know, it might be planned for Android, I'm not sure, I'll have to double check.
I'm on the cusp of my contract renewal, and I'm trying to consider if I want to bother going with another iPhone or not.
Ew.
I'm actually going to be ditching Android for Windows Phone.
Really?
Yeah. Because I don't play games on it.
That's like the
it.
First time anyone's ever said that.
I hate Android. It's a very, very bad OS. And I'm not interested in joining the Apple ecosystem. So I'm going to go with Windows Phone because
I like
move all my Zune stuff over.
From a UI standpoint, I really...
No one's ever said that either.
Just visually, like, and from a UI standpoint, I really like Windows Phone.
Yeah, considering what I do with the phone, which is take pictures, upload them to social media, and then occasionally look at websites.
Yeah.
You know, it's all sorts of stuff where I don't need a specific app to do it. So
not much of a toilet gamer?
No. No, not at all. I don't get that sort of spare time, and when I do, I'm in front of a computer or a game console anyway.
Yeah. But so it's just from Sean Baby, and he really kind of knocked this out of the park.
That's cool.
Yeah, it is really cool.
So what else have you been playing?
Oh, right. What else have I been playing? I've been playing Trials Evolution Gold Edition.
Is it gold?
I mean, there might be parts that are gold, but that's a really fun game. It's just kind of crazy and over the top. Like one time I booted up and all of a sudden the intro song with this guy kind of rock rapping. It was kind of hilarious. I enjoyed it. He was like, all right, listen up. I'm gonna ride my bike. Now listen up, do a flip. It was just really kind of dumb shit like that. But it's good. It's just really crazy fun. You know, like they have the regular kind of trials levels and jumping and ramps and stuff. But then they have these kind of crazy mini games, like you have to balance this giant metal ball on your head as you do the course and, you know, crash into a thing. And there's always crazy shit, like you go through the finish line in a level and then there's just an explosion and your guy flies through the air, or like a cargo container will drop on your guy after you beat the level. So it's kind of the opposite of Titanfall. Like after you, you know, win or lose, you know, and you have to escape. With this, it's just, even when you win, you just get a gigantic tractor tire dropped on your face.
So was that the first game that was on XBLA that Ubisoft ported to PC, or is that the second game?
This is the second game. The first one was called, like, Red Links Trials? Or
I have one of the trials on Steam. I'm not sure if the other one ever came.
Yeah, I don't remember what the first one was called.
But I know they made a sequel semi-recent, like within the last year or two.
Okay, I think the first one was called like just Trials 2 or Trials 2 SE or something. As far as I know, this is the most recent one.
Okay, I have Trials 2 second edition.
Okay, yeah, no, that's not this. This is the one that, yeah, this is the one that was on Xbox, and then, yeah, they moved to PC. So I've been playing that, and I started playing System Shock 2 again, or I guess replaying System Shock 2. I don't know. I just kind of I felt like it because Irrational Games. I don't know. I got nothing. That's about it, really. I played like the first, very very first, just very little bit of Castlevania: Lords of Shadow. And I don't know. I can't make any judgment on that just yet. All I did was fight some werewolves.
Yeah, like that's the very first.
It's the very very first. I think I'm definitely gonna need to set up a controller for that.
Oh yeah,
yeah. If it wasn't evident, that's about it. That and, you know, Calculords and Threes. So I will relegate on to the next person.
All right. So I have a lot of games, I guess.
Have you been playing Calculords?
I have not been playing Calculords. I have been playing Strider.
Oh right. So you have this problem with subtitles in that game.
Oh right, man. I didn't see.
So
it's just like completely covered up your dude.
Yeah, the first time you put up a thing, it's like, oh, I don't get what the problem is. These look legible. I didn't realize there was anything on the screen other than the subtitle though.
Right. And that was a boss fight.
Yeah. Like
the Hiryu was completely covered up by the big banner they use for subtitles and dialogue.
So like it doesn't pause when it does that? Like it doesn't stop doing things?
Theoretically, it only happens when things aren't happening, but with that boss fight, the second time I was fighting him, I already knew his patterns, so I just, you know, went up to him and hit him a whole bunch of times, and so he moved forward with the dialogue and his actions. So the dialogue was still there while he was, like, doing a move that I needed to actually legitimately be able to see myself, because he shoots the entire arena, and there's, like, one small spot where he doesn't. So, like, I don't know how I'm supposed to avoid this. Then, like, since it's a quote-unquote open world, like, there's this Russian guy basically telling you all these old Soviet jokes.
Oh.
Like, labor is key, labor is heaven. It's like, well, yeah, that's nice. Like, I get what you're going for with the atmosphere here, but I need to be able to see where I'm jumping to. So what you're doing here is really annoying me. So I'd eventually turn subtitles off. And now I don't understand what anyone's saying because everyone has these terrible Russian accents.
Oh, good.
But the game itself is pretty okay. Like, it's not great. It feels really nice. It feels really responsive. Unless you're clinging to a wall or a ceiling, then it can be sometimes really stupid to get off.
There was also that time you warped.
Yeah, like I put a video of that. Like, I went after a guy and then he shot me, I guess, and then I went back like 30 feet. Like, for no reason. It didn't even seem like the game knew it was happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, you probably, like, clipped into something and it pushed you out in the wrong place.
Yeah.
Like,
that's the best thing about PS4 uploading and sharing now, is that, like, huh, that glitch is dumb, and I can just upload it.
Is there anything like that for PC that just kind of, like, records a running, you know, 1 minute or whatever, and then you just press a button and it'll actually save that?
I don't. Maybe NVIDIA's thing does.
I wish there was. I need to look into that because you know, as we think about maybe playing some Binary Domain together, like I don't know. I don't really want to record like a whole thing, but like if there's a really funny moment, or I just want to be able to press a button and save it, and I don't want to just have like 80 gigabytes, you know, just sitting there and have to sort through it and remember when something happened.
To get that like 6 seconds of like somebody just falling off.
Right, right, exactly. Yeah. So I need to look at it. It's something that should exist and I'm sure there's a market for. And I don't know, maybe Valve will build it into Steam someday.
It's weird because I've been using Origin for the Titanfall thing. That thing doesn't have everything Valve does, but it has some things Valve doesn't have. Like, you can stream through Origin, but you can't take screenshots. Like, I Googled it because I was curious. Like, I wonder what you can do here. And, like, literally the instructions on EA's Origin site says, do you know what print screen is? Use that.
<That's> and then, amazing. You know, quit your game, paste it into Photoshop.
Yeah, and that means you can only take one photo at a time.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, the 15 I like to take.
That's pretty funny.
But, yeah, Strider, like, the big problem I have with Strider is that it's not really a Metroidvania because you very rarely actually backtrack with new abilities to go somewhere else. Like you maybe go back 5 minutes at most. And everything looks too industrial. Like nothing really has a distinct look to it. I can't, like the city I can tell you is different from the sewer. And that's pretty much the only two areas I really remember.
Yeah, I was going to say from the screenshot I've seen, it does all look very samey, which with a game like that, you kind of need some different visual environments.
And I'm playing on the PS4, which apparently through a glitch is lacking a bunch of textures.
Oh, nice.
Which is cool. Interesting.
And they haven't fixed that.
Not, well, I mean, Double Helix belongs to Amazon now, so I'm not sure they will.
Oh, God.
And what else am I playing? I have also been playing Earth Defense Force 2025.
What system is that?
I bought it for PS3, but it's PS3 and 360.
Okay.
I'm not sure if there will be a PC version.
Not PC is my question. Okay.
Yeah. But it's, if you liked 2017, it's the exact same game with new monsters. Like, even some of the areas, like, they're graphically different, but they're pretty much, it's pretty much just like, hey, this is the same beach.
It looked pretty cool. Yeah. So, I don't know. If it drops on PC, I'll probably grab it, because I forget why, but I passed on the I guess 2017 is the one that came to
Insect Steam. Armageddon was the American made one and it kind of sucked.
Oh, okay.
Well, and one of the reasons it kind of sucked is because their levels were like 40 minutes long. So if you died at the end, you died at the end. Ugh. You have to redo it.
If there's a good one that comes to Steam, let me know. I've been wanting to try one of these EDF games.
And they ham up the B-movie stuff, but it's not so hammed up that it's immediately obvious.
Yeah.
Which, that's the Kiss of Death or that sort of thing. Yeah. And one of the things I found interesting is story-wise for this. So this is the sequel to 2017. Like all that stuff happened 8 years ago. And in that game, giant bugs came and then the aliens came. And it always seemed to me like it was really obvious those two things were connected. And apparently in 2025, they didn't realize it those entire 8 years. They're like, huh.
Would you like to know more?
Yeah. They're like, oh my God, now we can finally we put it together. The giant bugs are here because of the giant aliens. It's like, really? You thought that was coincidence?
That's amazing.
But yeah, that game's, it's really fun, but I kind of wish it were on PC because it's kind of ugly. Like, I mean, it's supposed to be ugly, but...
Well, I mean, it's by and large a co-op game, right? I mean...
Though on PS3 you can't do co-op and online at the same time, which just seems like a dumb oversight.
Wait, so only local co-op?
Like, you can do local co-op, or you can do online. On the 360, you can do both at the same time.
Oh, got it. I hear you. Yeah, and I mean, it's just easier to organize a game.
I imagine it's a performance thing, because apparently the PS3 version wasn't very good before they patched it. They rolled that patch into the disc version, so.
Yeah.
I've also been playing Donkey Kong Country.
I hear good things about that, in that it is a, like, challenging game, but in a good way.
Yeah, I was ready to be really, really underwhelmed, but variety-wise, it's, like, in terms of, art and aesthetics, it's probably the most varied 2D platformer I've played in years. Like, the level I quit at earlier was the Savannah level that is basically just straight, like, do you remember the paintings Rafiki did in The Lion King?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's that with, like, this, Lion King music. Oh, and it's cool. So, like, I was blown away by how good and nice that was. Like, to get secrets, like, there was this one, you collect letters KONG through each level.
Yeah.
And I couldn't reach this one thing. I was like, I don't know what the deal was. So I ended up rolling through some grass, and I realized that the ground beneath that had the painting of a lion on it, and I just cut his mane so he was happy. And so he raised up and let me reach the K.
That's awesome.
That's cool.
And, like, there's little platformers of, like, these platforming sections of these, like, giraffes wearing, or not, things pretending to be paper mache giraffes with like sticks on them that you leap between them.
And you can like this? Picture people underneath it holding up those sticks and doing like a dance or something.
Yeah. Retro made it.
Okay, retro did it. Okay.
Yeah. So like I know a lot of people were like looking at this game like, this is so bland. This is just a sequel to the Wii game that's no different. And mechanics wise, not really. Like the department mechanics really changed, but it's the level design, those level aesthetics that really make this game shine. Like, there's a minecart level where you're going through a sawmill, and your minecart's made of wood for some reason. So you're going through, and like eventually you go through this like small section, and you come out, and your minecart has just become a small boat. And you go through, like, it introduces this mechanic immediately that of you, once you jump, you dive into the water a little bit, and you use this to avoid some enemies and scoop up some items. And then you immediately go through another section where it rebuilds your minecart, and a giant saw falls off the roof and starts following you. And it, like, it starts hitting the boxes that are falling onto it, and starts creating obstructions in front of you as, like, little platforms. And you have to leap onto those, and, like, midair. Like, it feels like Uncharted 2 if Uncharted 2 were
a game.
2D cartoonish tiny flat. That's actually what I put. That was my first thought, was this is like the Uncharted 2 of video games.
If Uncharted 2 wasn't a movie.
Like that level of dynamic, everything's changing and you have to react really quickly, but it doesn't auto-react for you if you don't
react.
The
Uncharted
2
of video games by Steven Spielberg.
And like, the bosses are really interesting and clever, and the music's really good. Like, the very first boss has music that kind of sounds like Persona music.
So what you're trying to tell us is that this is a good game.
This is a very good game, and it's also only $50.
It's too bad no one's ever gonna play it.
Yep.
Wii U.
I don't know, like, that's one reason, the fact that Mario just came out, so a lot of people are just done with platformers for a little while.
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't bought it yet. The only reason why is because Best Buy is doing a discount thing on Wii eShop cards.
Yeah, that started yesterday. I ended up, I bought Mike some points to pay him back for that wonderful 101 thing.
Yeah, I'm going to hoard them. I'm going to find out if there are, I'm seriously going to find out if there are limits. And
I don't think so. I know people who have bought $200 worth of points.
Yeah, I'm thinking of doing something like that, maybe a little more. And just because you get $200 worth for like, what, 160? It's 20% off?
20% off.
Yeah, I'm all in for that.
That's not bad.
Yeah, and then I'm just
then you get the discounts from actually buying things.
Yeah, well, I haven't gotten much of that anyway.
I mean, I think I have about $20 on the cards I haven't used.
Oh. I know there's that, and there was something on the 3DS that I wanted to buy. Oh wait, no, I was considering maybe getting Bravely Default, but it's not really my kind of game.
Yeah. I'm enjoying it, but it's gotten to this point where I'm having this Pavlovian response to every time I see a tall person in that game, because a tall person means I'm probably they're probably a boss, and a boss means I'll probably kill them and get their job. So it's like there was like this one point where there's a beauty contest and the MC was tall, and I was like, I wonder if I get to kill him. But I did not. There's no MC job class as far as I know. No. But then I did see a meeting of tall people, and one of them was a pirate, so now I'm excited to kill him.
So you can steal their job. Pirate job class.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a pirate job class. There was a pirate, a ninja, and like...
It's not a job, it's a lifestyle, all right?
The pirate or the ninja?
Both.
Yeah. But yeah, that's all I've been playing.
Cool. Matt?
So I have been playing our IBC pick.
Yes, I've seen you've been posting binary screenshots. Domains, yeah.
Which is the first game I've been playing on my new graphics card and PC. Mm-hmm. And it is very nice.
It is very nice.
Like, that is... I would not have picked that game as, like, an exemplar of really great graphics, but at 1920 by 1200 with every effect turned on, it's very nice.
Fuck yeah, 1610.
Do they sell 1610 monitors anymore? Like, is that standard
they're
past?
They're kind of going most away. Of them, yeah. I really like that extra 180 pixels.
Yeah, it's kind of nice to have 16 by 9 video and a play bar at the bottom.
Right, some extra.
Oh, that does sound nice.
Yeah.
But other than that, my PS3 hard drive failed. So I replaced my hard drive and I started up my saves on Gran Turismo 6 and Vanquish again. And I gotta admit, I'm not really all that sad about the idea that I'm going to be playing more Gran Turismo and Vanquish.
Did you lose all your Vanquish data then?
Yes.
Did you manage to beat it once or
no? Okay. I was about halfway through, I think.
Oh, that's too bad.
But it's not a super long game, so.
But I think you'll probably just from playing and learning the game, you'll probably burn.
It's probably more fun the second time around when you know tricks like the grenade cover thing and.
Oh yeah, and like I tried what you said about jumping forward out of cover and then going into slow motion. It's like, oh, I'm like 9 feet up in the air right now. Yes. I can pick off everyone who's squatting behind cover.
Yeah.
Like it's so the problem I was having was that when you roll and then go into slow mo, you're in a crouch. So if you try doing that in a lot of places, you get an obstructed view. But if you jump forward and go into slow mo, you have this great vantage point to hit things.
Yeah.
But I've also tried that trick with throwing grenades and detonating them in the air, which made the underground passage a lot easier where they had like those spider robots.
Yeah.
It's like, all I can hit this thing with, I thought, were just guns. And then it's like, I can throw a grenade, then roll and detonate the thing in the air next to this thing's weak spot and actually take it out in like 3 shots.
And that's why Vanquish is awesome.
I love the robot tech sci-fi crazy design in that game. It's really good.
Yeah, if there's anything I'm getting out of Binary Domain and Vanquish, it's this feel of futuristic technology-driven sci-fi. That there just hasn't been enough of that. Mass Effect was supposed to fill that void, and it did a pretty good job at filling that void, but it was still a little mundane.
I think I've said this before, but Binary Domain is what Mass Effect 3 wanted to be in a lot of ways. Like, it's stupid and silly, but it's actually like, I connected to that game way more than I connected with Mass Effect 3.
Yeah. I'm not terribly far into it. I just met the French robot.
Okay.
So, I mean, I think I'm picking up on hints or I'm reading too much into it, but it's kind of, it's weird that it's such a goofy game, but it also still has this Blade Runner vibe to it.
Yeah. Like, I actually, at the end of the game, I ended up caring about those characters, which is surprising.
Big Bo.
Even Big Bo.
Yeah. I've stopped putting Big Bo and the Chinese operative on the same team.
Because they always disagree.
Yeah, because I know I'm going to piss one of them off.
Yeah. I was nice to the French robot, but I ended up shooting him too often because he's a robot. And he kept, I was like, oh god, robot, shoot, shoot, shoot. But, so he ended up not having his best ending.
I don't know if I'm going to have best endings for any of them because there are so many times where it's like, oh, what do you want to hear? And then I guess wrong. And they're all mad at me. But let's not get ahead of ourselves on IBC.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
But other than that, I'm trying to think of if there was anything else I was playing, but I don't think so. I think most of my time, like, it took me a whole 2 days to get my PS3 up and running again because I tried to salvage the drive first.
Right, right.
I feel like this is one of those situations where it would have been smart of Sony to have backwards compatibility because there's going to be people with PS3s dying and are just going to think, you know, there's more games coming out. Why don't I just repair this instead of buying a PS4?
Well, it's not only that. It's like I was in the middle of a few games. Like, I'm not disappointed that, because Vanquish is so fast, especially when you're skipping cinematics, that I don't mind the fact that I'm going to just breeze through what I had already played.
Because the gameplay is enjoyable.
And Gran Turismo 6 is going to take me a while to get up to where I was before, but I had already started redoing parts of that game in manual transmission with the traction control off.
And you love driving.
Yeah, and I love playing that game, so that doesn't disappoint me, but losing my progress in Beyond and The Last of Us. I mean, I wasn't that far into The Last of Us, but it was still several hours of gameplay.
Yeah.
Very, very slow gameplay that doesn't really look like it's going to be worth redoing. Because
once Ken Levine revolutionizes narratives, then you'll be able to replay these games without worrying about it.
That's only for core gamers, though. Yeah. I'm not sure if Matt is a core gamer.
If he can cut the fat, good luck to him, because that is the problem with The Last of Us.
That would actually be a great setting for video games. Like, I've played this before, just, you know, give me what I need up until a certain point.
Yeah, or, you know, just give me a summary if I skip this cinematic. Tell me what happened in the plot. Or at the very least, for the love of God, game developers, stop doing these things where you make me slow walk while you talk. So done with that.
I think at one point that was a loading thing, and now it's just...
Yeah.
Because everyone does it, they still
say, I'm walking now. I guess, I guess I can go get a glass of milk.
Yeah. Slow walking. The most annoying current trend in video games, maybe.
Slow walking. Free to play episode 68. Slow walking.
All right.
Christopher Walken.
We did that last week.
Spielberg? Oh, we did do Christopher Walken. All right.
Yeah.
Slow walking Spielberg.
All right, let's wrap.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Bye.
We love you, Mark.